Katrina and I went and saw the fucking hot dog one, the food one.
Oh, you did?
Oh,
Sausage Party?
We walked out.
Why?
About halfway.
Why?
It wasn't enough.
Too
like,
forced or what?
It was, here's the thing.
It's horrible.
It was,
that's why I loved it. I can't believe you didn't like it.
No, it was hilarious for like the first 20 minutes. And then it was so empty from that it was like, it wasn't funny anymore.
Yeah.
It was
just all shock value.
It was all shock.
Really?
I loved it.
It
was too long. It was too long.
I sold it too hard, man.
Too long of a movie for that type of humor.
He deflates all my movie choices, just so you know.
Who, Adam?
Don't worry. Yeah. He's in his own little world.
You missed the whole freaking taco, you know.
I'm always open-minded. I saw
Magnificent Seven, though. That was killer.
I don't know if I've seen that
yet. Great.
Which one was
Denzel
that?
Denzel Washington, and then you got Chris.
It's a remake, right, of an old Western?
Is that the country one, or the Western one, where he's going along, and then he keeps adding guys to it? Oh, I saw parts of that.
It's kind of like a Tombstone kind of plot.
Let's go to the movies tonight.
It's sick.
Who's down?
It's worth watching.
What is tonight?
Tonight's Wednesday.
No, I mean, like, what is on? What do you want to watch? You don't even have anything to watch.
I don't fucking care.
Tomorrow I'll get a bit.
Let's go watch Magnificent Seven.
Oh, yeah.
Justin, do you want to come?
I would do it again.
But you can't.
Okay, fine.
You can't come, huh? You got to go home and watch.
I can always come by myself.
Boom!
Hey-o.
T-shirts.
I got the power.
Are we giving away T-shirts, Doug?
We are.
You know, Doug always waits. You know what? Let me tell you what I like about Doug.
Mm-hmm.
Doug is patient.
He waits very patient.
He allows us to just jibber jabber.
Doug is patient. Doug is kind.
Well, watch him right now. He's trying to speak, but we're still speaking over him.
I just keep my mouth shut.
All right.
It's very easy.
All right, Doug.
I have an easy job.
Let's give away. Who won the shirts?
Well, we had 22 reviews, which is fantastic.
Holy fuck shit.
Yes,
is that
job.
A record for us?
I don't know if that's a record, but close to
I
it.
I think that's a lot of the listeners that came over from our interview on the Ben Greenfield show.
Yeah, I think that might be part of it for
and
sure.
They're all cool. 5-star?
Oh, yeah. Oh. We don't give away shirts to anybody to give less than 5 stars.
Oh, yeah.
But we're going to give away 6 shirts.
Wow.
So let's begin here.
How many reviews?
22.
22, yeah. Adam.
Which, is that the most?
Yeah, listen, you should pay attention when we're live.
Yeah. Sorry.
On the mic.
Stop Instagramming.
Stop texting.
That's the one time you should pay attention.
Who knows what he's doing over there.
All right. We got 6 shirts going out. We got J. Greg, Texas. We got Tep86, Stephanie O, KCRA0071, E. Schwartz 418, and Flotation. All of you, winners!
Free shirts for all you motherfuckers.
So send your name, the one I just read, to iTunes at mindpumpmedia.com. Include your shirt size and your shipping address, and we'll get that right out to you.
We're going to mail you a free Mind Pump shirt.
We love you.
It's coming.
It's crazy.
If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump with your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
All right, listeners, you're about to hear an episode on how to bring up lagging body parts. We're going to give you great information, some free takeaways, but if you really want the nitty gritty, if you really want expert programming and you have body parts you want to bring up and make your body look more balanced and aesthetic, we have the answers. We have
MAPS Black. That's the first one.
MAPS Aesthetic. The program is specifically designed to help you bring up lagging body parts with the patented focus session concept that we have.
We also talked about the functional side and the neurological piece too, because a lagging body part isn't just always the aesthetic piece. Sometimes it's the inability for you to connect to a certain muscle group.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And so we have our sexy athlete bundle. This includes MAPS Aesthetic with MAPS Performance. MAPS Performance, as some of you may know, is our athletic-based, mobility-based, functional-based MAPS program. And when you get that bundle, we teach you how to meld them together, mm-hmm. how you can get that aesthetic component, but also get the functional component. Lastly, on that episode, we talked about how body parts are lagging, and we got stuck on how some people train and they just don't develop their butts, even though they do lots of squats and lunges.
Because it's a super common one. We have a lot of people that are running on treadmills with flat butts while they're telling us that, hey, I want to build a butt. And there's a reason why that is. And
humanitarians at the end of the day. We want good butts out there.
That's right.
And here's the thing. A lot of times it's not because you're not squatting and not deadlifting and not lunging. You're probably doing all those exercises because you were told you should, but your butt still isn't developing. It's because you don't have a good connection to firing your glutes. You have what's called a sleepy butt. Well, we've got the answer for you. We have the Build Your Butt Bundle. This is our MAPS aesthetic program with a modification that teaches you how to use certain exercises and techniques and how to use them to wake up those glutes so that they fire properly so that when you do those squats, your butt grows.
That's right.
You can find all of that at mindpumpmedia.com. Are you gaining weight, Adam?
It's all in his face.
I know. Yeah, I'm a little fat right now.
You look a little heavy.
I haven't trained. This is the most I haven't trained ever before.
Why aren't you
the
training?
The tan's not even helping.
Why'd you stop
not
training?
Not even helping, fucking dick. yeah, no, I'm actually been enjoying the time off a little bit. I'm going to train today.
How long have you not exercised for?
I lifted the first day I got there, and that was it. So it's been almost a week.
Dang.
Yeah. I haven't taken a week off.
That's not that bad, dude.
I haven't taken a full week off.
But that's not why you're getting fatter.
Well, no, yeah, that's pretty much why I'm getting fatter, actually.
So your diet's exactly the same? Or you were eating bad a little bit over there and over here?
Well, yeah, no, I drank. I mean, I never drink. I drank, dude, I had, one of the nights we were there, we had, I drank.
You tell me about the Mai Tais, right?
Dude, the Mai Tais. So this place is famous for the Mai Tais, right? It's like the world.
What's in a Mai Tai? What is a Mai Tai?
Sounds yummy.
It's like rum and.
Tropical. Yeah,
it's basically fruits. It's a fruity like, it's a fruit smoothie with alcohol.
It's
right?
Definitely fruity.
Yeah, but Mai Tai like pina coladas and lava flows and dirty monkeys. Those are more like fruity and like
it's rum that's in it, right?
Yeah, and it's a lot. It's mostly rum, and it's like a splash of like they do like this. This place does this like.
Like agave,
sherbet. Like, I did a video of them making it, so you guys can actually.
Because I had a lava flow when I was in Hawaii,
which is one of my favorite.
Fucking delicious,
yeah, with the whipped cream. So I feel like such a bitch.
So I do to man up your.
I put it on my nipples
to man up your lava flow. Just so you guys know, if you're ever there,
can man it up.
Yeah, you can man it up.
No
to,
way.
To man it up, you do a double lava flow with rum on top.
All right, so I'm doing that next. That time. I felt like such a little girl.
Yeah, and what I like about that, it tones down the. The sugar.
Was it lava flow a girly drink?
Which,
are you kidding me?
Bro, it's got colors.
It can't get any more girly than that.
Really?
Like, you might as well drink a blowjob.
So look at that. That's all the...
Whoa.
I'm just
what's
saying.
A blow? How do you drink a blowjob?
Come on. Can you see that, Justin, from here?
Yeah, I can see.
What is that?
Oh, that looks delicious already.
So it's all ice, and then you just put the rum, and then you just... This is like just this sherbet-like...
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they put it in a canister, in a CO2 canister, and they shoot it out, which is totally different than a normal Mai Tai. Oh, this is what they're famous for.
So you were
making me angry.
So you were smashing those?
Oh, I must have had six of those. And then, of course, it's a wedding, so then we're taking shots of Fireball and all kinds of other stuff. And I was fine.
Did you get diarrhea?
No, I was totally fine. Okay.
How dare you party without me?
We danced like crazy all night long.
You danced?
Yeah. Like,
did you take a video of you dancing?
I didn't.
Please. Oh,
you can talk to Katrina about that. She'll tell you. She's like, God, I love it when you dance and drink. She'll tell you. So
Adam, drop.
Yeah, don't take my word for it, bro. Ask
do your legs move when you dance?
Ask the woman.
Do they stay steady?
You know, all he does is grind. I guarantee it.
No, I'm not a grind. I promise you guys, I won't let you down when we go out. But I will admit this. There is a difference between me sober dancing and I don't want to be fucked up. I'm not like drunk and I'm like, you think you're dancing well? Like, it's not like
your inhibitions a little bit.
It does loosen me up because I'm not like, you know.
Then your knees start bending.
Yeah, I wasn't like, I didn't belong to any dance teams like you did or anything like that. Or didn't have like high school cheerleading in my background. So I didn't have
it was color guard.
Yeah.
Okay. It was right.
You didn't even
you guys.
Color guard was like, hey, color. Color guard in my school was like, it went like this. So you wanted to be a cheerleader. Like, everybody wanted to be a cheerleader. Those were all the hot girls, right? If you weren't a cheerleader, you didn't make the cheerleading team, then you went to the dance team. If you didn't make the dance team, then you got cut and then you were the color guard.
You're a base.
Yeah, that was kind of.
Or a mascot.
Yeah, that was kind of.
That's your only option. You're a mascot.
You know what the color guard is, right?
Yeah, I do.
The girls that do all the flag. Yeah. Okay, so that. But anyway, so the Mai Tais, right?
And the nerds that do like that stick thing. Like, wow. You do the hacky sack in here. They're doing like
we just offended. We just offended like a ton of.
Hold on a second. Hold on. Nerds hacky sack? I never hacky sack.
I
know you fuckers
time.
Did.
Yeah,
that's
I
right.
hacky sacked. I did.
Well,
for sure.
I've never said I wasn't a nerd. I'm just saying there's levels of nerds.
Oh, yeah.
So after the Mai Tais, dancing felt great. The next morning, that was the morning we decided to do the road to Hana. And
the what?
The road to Hana.
Okay.
Have you been to Maui before?
No.
Okay. So
what's Hana?
Hana is a road. Okay, so it's a place. It's a town.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So it's the road to Hana is
sounds like a movie.
Well, it's literally and
like
okay,
porn.
Highway 9. Think of the nastiest part of Highway 9.
That's technically a movie.
You're familiar with Highway 9, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so think of the nastiest part of Highway 9 as far as the twists, the turns, and everything.
Yeah.
And then put it on the top of like a tropical mountain, right? And it's 30 or 40 miles long, and it takes you a good like 3 hours or so to go all the way through it. But it's like the most beautiful sights. There's all these waterfalls along the way that you can stop and all these crazy.
So 3 hours of twisting roads, and you just fucking drank a shit ton the night
so
before.
Marker 15. I look at Katrina and I'm like, I'm the one driving, and I go, I gotta throw up.
No.
She's like, really? And she's like, do you want me to drive? I'm like, no. I think I'll be fine. I just, this road is just gnarly. And I felt fine in the morning, but once I get driving on this road, it was that bad. So I got out and shoved my finger down my throat and threw up for a few minutes and then came back in. And
yeah, I feel better.
Got back to driving. And I did. I felt fine after that. But it was a gnarly ride up there. But it was cool. It was we saw all kinds of great stuff. A lot of the photos that I've taken and posted.
So you got
dude, isn't it worse being a passenger when you're sick?
Oh, yeah, of course.
You know what I mean? That's like, why I wanted I actually wanted to drive. Like, she's like, do you want me to drive? And I'm like, no, it'd be worse if I have to sit.
Getting thrown around.
Because I know if I'm sitting in a car for 30 minutes too, I'll start getting on my phone and like
reading. Oh, and then you'll really get sick.
Oh, yeah.
What you should have done is passengers, you should have been a passenger, but you should have taken like a couple Benadryl and just slept. But then you'd miss everything.
Yeah, that, the whole point is to like check the
hey, babe, can I nap while you do all this stuff?
You gotta tough it out.
Yeah,
so you got hammered the night before then.
You know, I didn't think I was that hammered. I did not feel hungover. I went to bed that night. I took like 4 Advil before I went to sleep and woke up.
Good. Did you, for your liver? What did you do crazy that night because you drank so much? Did you do anything crazy?
Well, we were at a wedding. So we were celebrating a marriage.
Oh, okay.
So that tends to happen. So we drank.
Well, what I mean is any good stories from this inebriated state of Adam?
You know, dude, I didn't do anything too stupid, I think.
You didn't go streaking?
No streaking. I kept my – we were at a really nice place called Merriman. So if you've never been to Maui, Merriman, probably top 3 locations I've ever been to as far as – I've been to a lot of weddings too. So I've seen some really beautiful spots. This place was just gorgeous. And not only was it gorgeous, and they had the entire place rented out. The food there was just amazing. The setup was amazing. The Mai Tais were, everything was just, it was perfect.
Do you guys get emotional at weddings?
No, not at all.
I don't understand why people get emotional.
Well, because people that are into
I'm waiting for it.
Love
do you cry or
no,
love?
No, that's what I'm saying. I don't get it. It's a wedding. Why is it fucking? Who cares?
I think women kind of tend to. I don't know.
Yeah. Girl,
is that a generalization?
Yeah. No.
Totally.
Katrina gets all.
She sexist.
Gets all. Oh, you know, the women are.
Well, she's crying because you haven't asked her to marry her. Yet.
I guess I get. I guess
you
I
get that for that.
I divorce. Oh, I know. Oh, by the way, yeah, Katrina was listening to that.
Good one, Sal.
We're on the plane, and she's like. Like her mouth opens like this, and she takes the headphones off.
Oh my God,
and she's
like, just heard that.
She pulls it off, and she's like, "I can't believe you just said that about Sal." I'm like, "What are you listening to?" She's like, "The episode you said divorcee like that." I'm like, "I was like, oh yeah." I was like, "Too far."
He could take it.
I go too far. She goes, "Yeah, that was too far." I said, "No,
yeah, thanks." I got fucking messages from random fans now.
No.
Hey, I heard you were divorced.
hey, here's my profile.
Can you help me on personal training?
Check me out.
Yeah.
No, but there's no emotions for me at weddings. It never has been. I don't understand that. Unless I guess if my kid was getting married, maybe.
Yeah, for sure. If your kid. Yeah.
Oh, 100. You know
what? Were you dead inside?
Maybe when your friends get married, you cry for them.
Like,
you're like, oh my God, this is gonna suck.
I cried. I cried in 2 best man speeches. I gave 2.
Did you really?
Yeah. I gave 2 best man speeches. I cried at Mark's and I cried at Jared's. I didn't cry at Justin's and I didn't cry at my
sorry,
dad's.
Justin. Yeah.
No, I just those 2 were just emotional for me. Mark, I think it was the timing that he
wasn't my best man. Don't worry.
I think he was the first one.
He was in your wedding.
No, he was at my wedding.
Yeah, Justin didn't even put me
in the
back.
Oh, you were in the wedding?
No.
I thought you guys were close.
I almost didn't even bring him involved in the mind pump circle because I was like,
Shut up. This
motherfucker didn't even put me in his wedding.
I thought you were like Justin's
mentor. He was my heavy influencer.
I thought you were his mentor.
He's never said that.
What?
Listen, yes, I have.
I've heard you say that.
I have said that. I've said that in an episode.
I tell people, I'm his mentor.
Your sister's probably listening to it right now.
Yeah, right.
She's logging it for us.
That's horrible. Well, at least you were invited.
Yeah, no, it was.
I didn't even know you.
Yeah, I was.
I don't care.
I was invited, so that was good. That was good. I was there for sure. So,
yeah. Listen, you have more impact in my life now.
But he also, I know. And I would.
If you were to get married today, let's just rewind for a second. Let's say you were to get married today.
Yes.
We would definitely be in your wedding.
I would have a total different cast up there.
We would be in your wedding.
Isn't that funny how that works?
Yeah. It is weird.
You'd have three best men, right?
Yeah. I don't even hang out. Like, yeah, there was like half of them I don't even talk to anymore.
Can I just say something right now? I really, and I don't take this wrong, Adam, I really want you to get married, but here's why. The bachelor party.
Yes.
God damn it, Justin. Wouldn't that be great?
Epic, dude. We will almost die. I guarantee it.
I hope someone, I mean, well, I don't want to hope, I don't want someone to die.
No.
But that would probably happen.
It'll be extreme.
Somebody would.
I think I could convince Katrina that we could do like a practice one.
Bachelor party?
Yeah.
You know what you do? Yeah. This is what you do.
Because I could tell her, like, you know, I'm really, this whole marriage thing, I'm not sure.
Exactly.
Like, let's do a run. Let's do a practice run. You know what I'm saying?
Like, I want to practice
like everything. You could do a practice wedding shower and everything. And I'm going to do a
practice. And then let me see what happens.
Give her like a cubic zirconium.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something I'll start like convincing her that way, it's and like, then
this
I'll,
is
then
about
I'll,
the size it'll be.
I'll drop the bachelor party on her. Oh, so this weekend, Justin, Sal, Doug, and I, we're gonna fly. We're going out to Vegas for the weekend, and then we're gonna drop over.
Yeah, we're just you know acting it out.
It's a pre-bachelor party. Yeah. That's all.
Wow,
like it.
I think we could do that,
huh?
I think we could do that,
dude. I hope.
Quit wanting to give it. You know what is it too with people always? Why do people find that so necessary, especially family, to be like?
No, I didn't want you.
To when say, are you guys going to get married? When are you going to get married?
No. Like,
what else are we going
to
talk about?
You mean
though?
When am I going to spend $50,000 to $100,000 and go sign some fucking paper and get the government involved in my relationship that's been going great for 6 years?
We're miserable. Why aren't you yet?
Is that what you're asking me? Is that what you're
wanting? That's a good point.
What you want to know?
That's a good point. So what you should do is not spend the money on a fancy wedding. You don't have to, right? You love your girl. Just sign the paperwork, have the bachelor party, and give her the peace of mind knowing that you are now her husband.
I don't think she doesn't have a peace.
I'm done. No, you know what it is? I'll tell you what happened. Before, I didn't know Katrina very well. Now I know her.
I know.
You know what I'm saying?
We really like
her. And I'm like, dang.
I know.
And I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, fuck, how did she
end up with
Adam?
Dude, she's a closer. She just closed all you guys. She beats me at home.
I guess she did.
Yeah. She beats the shit out of you.
She beats
me. You know when Adam comes in with the black eye, like, what happened,
you
bro?
You deserve it.
You better start saying nice things about me on the radio. I'm going to whoop the shit out of you when you get home.
Kind of turns you on, though.
Yeah, a little bit.
A little bit.
I'm into weird shit like that.
Wow. Yeah. I thought Sal was that one.
No.
It's you, huh?
Yeah, he's starting to rub off on me just a little bit.
Sal's just a big talker.
No. I like to wear the feet pajamas, that thing.
Feet pajamas.
That weird stuff. Not the beating. I think we're supposed to talk about
what
fitness.
Are we doing?
No. Hey, so listen, this is something that I've been getting a lot of these.
I gets it all days.
These messages. Fucking hey, dude. I need a Mai Tai.
Sorry.
Give me another Mai Tai, please. I've been getting a lot of messages from people since we just had Johnny Sebastian, one of my favorite Asians. On our show, and he is getting ready to beef up for the 215 or 213, 212 division. And lots of people have been asking about training regimens and programs for bodybuilders and if we do stuff like that, which is ironic because we have a program for people just like that that is specific to building lagging body parts.
Yeah, like how to bring up lagging body
which
parts.
Which is extremely important.
We should talk about what a lagging body part is.
Well, yeah, let's talk about what it is.
Yeah, inform me.
He has no clue or doesn't give a shit about that.
Well, I think
some people don't
care. Where am I lagging?
Some people some people don't care.
No and then, dick exercises. Sorry, Justin. There's two definitions of lagging.
Hanging, though, not lagging.
Of lagging body parts that I can think of. One would be from an aesthetic point of view, right? And I think that's what you're talking about mostly, right, Adam? Like you look at your body and you see areas.
Where I want to build and develop it and be able to see, you know, a more pronounced look.
Yeah, because it doesn't look balanced. Like, oh, wow, everything looks good except for my hamstrings or except for my quads or except for my delts or my chest or whatever from an aesthetic point of view. But then I think there's also lagging body parts from a functional point of view. And they're
kind of inversely related, don't you think?
Right.
They can be, but not always. Like I know people who've got
not contributing is where I would come in.
Yeah, because then you could look at someone from a functional point of view moving and you could say, this isn't firing or that's not firing or you have the wrong recruitment pattern. Therefore, these body parts are lagging.
Yeah.
So I think there's two
really dominant here. We need to kind of address that.
Yeah. There's two things we're looking at. A lot of times are the same. So a lot of times you'll see a muscle group that from an aesthetic point of view looks undeveloped. And it also doesn't fire properly or is weak in comparison to its surrounding muscle groups. But sometimes they're not the same. I've seen people who have extremely strong, you know, quads that just don't look very developed, or, you know, very, very strong scapular retractors, but their back doesn't look very developed. So I think we need to address both those things, right? Like, you know?
Well, absolutely. And I think the MAPS plaque does a really good job of this. I think that that was so important to us that we built a program that had the ability to modify and customize to specific people and their needs, mm-hmm. right? Or their lagging body parts, whether it be a neurological and disconnect that way, or it be an aesthetic. For me, it was obviously inspired mostly on the aesthetic, because I remember, you know, going through MAPS anabolic and kind of getting in shape from when I went from fat to fit. And then I remember hitting stage and getting critiqued for the first time, and a judge telling you that, hey, you know, you could work on your shoulders a little more, on your chest, and, you know, this is, these are your areas that I think, and here's your strong points. I think you've got a great back already.
Too it's, handsome, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's take that down a notch.
I think, yeah, you're too handsome there. Mm-hmm. So, no, remember my first show? I had my hair all long and curly, and then I had my bald spot. Like, that was fucking so embarrassing.
You know, you know what?
Jesus Christ.
I don't think anybody noticed.
Nobody noticed until you posted about it.
No, bullshit, bro. It was...
You posted a picture, and you said, oh, you know, here's a back shot from my recent competition. Don't look at the bald spot. I'm like, dude, don't call attention to it.
It didn't need it. It didn't need it.
That bad.
It didn't need it. I'm thinning up top. And rule number one, okay, for guys that are thinning up top is don't grow your hair out long, because it grows away from the bald spot and it just accentuates.
You didn't comb it over
or grow a badass ponytail.
Yeah, right.
Yeah
I didn't do the comb over effect, so it did not do me well. And then when I turned around to do this excellent back pose, which is supposed to be my strength, I'm sure all the judges went like, oh, look at that. His hair looks awesome where he has it. So I thought that that was definitely a strike one for me, but that's part of the learning experience. Then that wasn't a lagging body part. I fixed that. But they, you know, case. The judges will tell you, okay, there's these areas that you want. Now, and not all of us need a judge to tell us that, hey, my chest sucks or my shoulders suck.
Most people listening right now have an area they
like
really
no
want
to judge.
That's
ever.
Tough, man. That's tough to take that.
Come on.
A random guy.
Go ahead, throw it this way. Go ahead. I'm waiting. I see the look you have.
We're talking about chest?
Yeah, no judge has to tell Sal his chest is weaker than his other body parts. I mean, he knows that already. That's a focus point.
It's all nipple.
Man, we're just roasting.
No. So, but let's be honest. So this is where you would utilize something like this is, okay. So most people, my peers, when I was going through this, they'd hear this and then I'd watch how they are training in there. And there was no real rhyme or reason on how they would train. It was just like, okay, mm-hmm. judges said this is the lagging part. So you just see them doing it all the time. And it's like no program, no structure, no progressive overload to it. There was no way that they built it in. It was just like, okay, I need to work on my shoulder, so I'm going to do a bunch more shoulder exercises. Mm-hmm. Or they'd start incorporating different type of movements for that that body part, where there is a way to do that and actually strategically bring up that body part while not allowing the others to suffer, or allowing maybe some of your dominant parts. That's another thing too, is symmetry. When it comes to looking at a total package of someone's physique, right? If you look at somebody and you go like, man, they have a great physique, rarely ever is that dictated by them being 240 pounds or 180 pounds or 100. Like, you can see a guy at 180 and look just as awesome as a guy who's at 230 and a guy that's at 160 based off of their symmetry.
All balance, symmetry, all that, right?
It took me going through competing before I really realized that, because first I was always the skinny kid who was trying to build muscle. My whole life I wanted to be bigger. And so I'd been on the bulk my whole life. I never cut. There was no reason for it. I never wanted to be smaller. So in my eyes, I'm always trying to build and build and build and build and build and build. And I never had got myself down to this shredded body fat percentage to where everything was separated and you could see. And when I got down to that, I was the smallest I had been since probably high school, but the way I looked was, and I got all these crazy compliments like, oh my God, you look so big. What are you doing? You know, I'm like, what? How people are telling me I look big. I'm not big. I'm like leaner. I'm small. I'm 30 pounds down from where I was 8 months ago or whatever. But a lot of people don't realize that when you know, the symmetry in our body really is what will make you look
like. It's what makes you look impressive from afar. Everybody knows the person who's got the very developed upper body and the skinny legs, or the very developed chest and the weak back, and you look at them and although they have an impressive body part, it just doesn't look right. There's a guy that works out At the Golds around here, and you know, I used to call him Colonel Chicken Breast because because he looks like, I sound like an asshole, right? He looks like,
I want that on his license plate.
Yeah, too late.
He looks like, you know how they like modify and grow chickens to just have massive breasts and they barely can move because they're all pecs. He looks like
Captain White Meat.
He's got a huge barrel chest and nothing else. Because, and when he works out, you can see all he does is dumbbell chest press and flat press and incline press. And it's all chest exercises.
This is what I'm good at.
It doesn't look put together well. It doesn't look right. And so from an aesthetic point of view, balance is far more important than overdevelopment of any one body part by far. By absolute far. Yeah. I'd say one of the first things you should focus on when you have a body part you want to work on is, number one, make sure that you're connected to that body part. That's rule number one. Above and beyond all the other things you could do is make sure you're connected, because the odds are...
Well, let's talk about some areas that are common for us as trainers that we've seen people that's a problem, right? Like, for example, this has happened to me many, many times. Someone hires me. And it's a girl who is just discouraged.
Well, the butt.
Yeah, right. She's just not been able to. She thinks that she cannot build a butt, and it's just not in her genes, and doesn't realize, hey, it's a muscle, and you absolutely can build it, and you can have a very nice big butt if you want one. But those same people that normally have a hard time with that have a poor neurological connection there and aren't firing it.
They do, because you'll get these people that'll come to you as a trainer, and they'll say, I squat, I do lunges, I do deadlifts. Why isn't my butt developing? Why is it a lagging body part? Mm. And it's 100% because of the lack of connection. This is why we have the, I don't even know if we still, do we still have the butt builder combo?
Right.
Yeah. So the butt builder combo has our modification, has our program set up with a mod that teaches you how to reconnect that muscle. Rule number one, undeveloped body parts, many times, not always, but many times, simply have a poor connection. And when you go to do exercises,
It's a recruitment issue.
Well, let's also talk about why that is a common one and how that happens. When we sit sit down in like a 90 degrees, right, at a chair or in your car or whatever, what ends up happening is it tilts your pelvis in, and when we stand back up, we're kind of in that position still, right? So then now we get all this quad and hip flexor dominance. Mm-hmm. And so when we walk, your glutes should be a primary mover and pedaling and moving us forward. But
all calves and quads.
Yeah, but exactly. But for a lot of people, what ends up happening, which is, okay, so for a good trainer eye, like good trainers can normally look at like someone's calves and their quads and know that they already, without even having them do anything else, know that this is an issue. I see it all the time. You see these girls that have got these great legs, they have got great calves, and they have like this flat butt. And mm-hmm. it's like, doesn't make sense to, you know, and for them, that's like,
and they're almost in this postural forward lean constantly,
right?
Like, you're like, oh my God, either they wear heels all the time or they've just always been in this position that feels most comfortable for them, and they've never really been able to press their heels completely down into the ground in a squat.
Or they do lots of long distance running, lots of running,
yeah, exactly.
That works
lots
in a very,
of things in the interior
works in a very short range of motion. And so they just have poor connection. So when you take that poor connection and you apply it to exercises that are supposed to work this lagging body part, you're not going to get a lot out of it. Even though you're doing the right exercises, you're doing all the butt exercises, like your squats and your deadlifts and your lunges and whatever, even a hip thrust, which is a hip extension movement, if you're not doing it with the right intention and understanding where you need to squeeze and control and what the glutes actually do, you can make it a hamstring exercise.
Yeah, you prioritize what your body's go-to has been forever for strength and for moving you in a position. So
right.
it's already programmed and wired into your process.
I'm going to go one step further and irritate some people right now. And this is going to be hard for some of you to swallow and understand, because I know this is tons, and I know you guys can agree. You can agree or disagree with me right here, that if you are a female and you have, and a male too, but this a majority of my clients that have complained about this are female. If you are a female who feels like you struggle with building your butt and you're also a runner, running is probably the worst thing you could be doing for yourself to help that cause.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had to actually tell my wife to stop doing cardio kickboxing.
Oh, really?
She's like completely always on her toes, and she's kicking and like doesn't really, like, no posterior recruitment happening
at all.
And
this is just reinforcing bad recruitment patterns.
That's the key right there. The key
and
is
that's what I mean by that.
Yeah, yeah. It's tough to because like she really enjoys it. You know, it's like one of the favorite things. And like, well, at least I'm moving and working out, and you know, I'm getting a sweat and all. I'm like, that's great. That's awesome. You know, look what it's done for your back.
Well, and this is what, okay, you have to ask, because I know there's people right now that are like, oh, what? I can't believe this guy just said, don't, he's a fitness guy and said, you know, running is bad for me. Okay, well, here's the deal. If building a butt is your number one priority, it is very much so probably a bad thing for you. If you're having a hard time with
now,
it.
Now, I'm glad you said probably, because not always. If someone has great recruitment patterns, it's no problem.
Totally fine. But let's be honest. If you're somebody who does it and you're having a hard time building your ass and you can't figure out why, and yet you're still going and training for these mud runners and fucking marathons and all this other shit, it is working. It is working against your goal. Now, if your goal is to do these mud runs and you love to run and you care more about that than you care about building that butt or the building that lower half like you always, then by all means,
it's usually
fucking get it, run to death on the treadmill.
And it's usually the distance runners, because if you're sprinting properly, usually glutes are an issue. I rarely find a good sprinter that doesn't have an ass.
Oh yeah,
that's totally different.
Fast twitch. We're talking a different monster.
It's a different movement. There's lots of hip extension, lots of kick. Whereas the long distance running is this kind of short range of motion, repetitive over and over again. And so when you're trying to change a recruitment pattern, what you need to understand is it takes practice to change that pattern. And if I today am trying to get my butt to fire more and I spend 30 minutes trying to get it to fire better twice a week, but then I run for an hour every single day, guess which practice is going to win the recruitment pattern battle?
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. And that's what Adam's talking about is you need to change what you're doing to change that recruitment pattern. And look, this applies to any muscle. Look, if you have weak shoulders, let's say your delts are an issue, you likely have a recruitment pattern issue. And so part of your workout should be very light weight, super concentrated, controlled movement where you're really just trying to feel a particular part of your deltoid. Is that a muscle builder? Is it a mass builder? No. But it is a very important prerequisite to being able to build muscle and mass on that shoulder. Because if you go straight to the shoulder builders, like a military press or whatever, but you don't have that good connection, you're only getting 20-30% or whatever, you know, I'm just throwing out arbitrary numbers, but you're not getting the full effect of what that military press can do for your shoulders. Mm-hmm. So a lot of your initial programming should be very light, very controlled movements where you feel that muscle working. I have seen so many people, speaking of shoulders, do side laterals who have poor shoulders, and it's just they can't. You watch them do it, and it's an upper back exercise. Mm. And then you have them use 5 pounds. You lock their shoulder in place. They just focus on, you know, abduction of the humerus in a particular way. And all of a sudden, oh, now I can feel that side part of my shoulder. Good. Do that for a little while. Get that connection. Then we can move on.
Well,
to the
it's a good
stuff.
Point because it's a multifaceted, you know, joint. There's a lot of different ranges of motion that it produces. And so if you're only fixed in one plane, you know, building and developing that process, your muscle is going to look only a certain way. Whereas if you incorporate all these different, you know, angles and different ways that like your shoulder's supposed to produce movement, you know, you're going to build and develop a more rounded shoulder.
Yes. And now this is where this whole getting a connection to the muscle, this is where I see single joint isolation exercises having real value.
Absolutely.
This is where you would program these things is in trying to reconnect or feel a better connection to a muscle. You know, like I said, a very slow, controlled side lateral for the shoulder with lightweight, not going to build much muscle, but it's a great way to feel that muscle fire so that when I do my next exercise or when I start to get to the heavier stuff, it's actually doing what it's supposed to do. So if you have a weak body part, step one, reconnect it, do light isolation movements for it, slow the fuck down, go as light as you need to feel the muscle. I don't care if that means you use no weight. You go as light as you need to feel the muscle. That's step number one. Step number two is prioritize that muscle within your workout.
Yeah.
And a lot of people think that, you know, oh, well, you know, that makes plenty of sense, but I don't see people doing it. You know what I mean? I see people, today's chest and shoulders, and my weakness is shoulders. Ever thought about hitting your shoulders before you hit your chest? I know that sounds sacrilegious because I don't want to fatigue. Because
now my bench press will come down.
Right, but your fucking chest is fine. Your issue is shoulders. So why not hit your shoulders first? Mm-hmm. Why not isolate it, make it work, feel that thing working, go to your heavy shoulder exercises, then go to
now
chest.
Now it's contributing a lot more.
Then go to your chest and you're going to find, and look, studies have proven this over and over again, that whatever you prioritize in your workout, you tend to get more of in terms of progress or results. And we always typically recommend putting the big movements first in your workouts, which is true 90% of the time. But when you're talking about lagging body parts, prioritizing them helps.
Well, this is what was so different, too, about Black. And I remember we got
Maps Aesthetic.
Yeah. So when we first did this, it was like before that we had talked. We always talked about the big barbell movements and that was it. And everyone's like, OK, so you can't tell me that all these other exercises are meaningless and there's no purpose for them. I'm like, no, absolutely. We have a problem with how a majority of like your social media fitness icons promote and show them like it's a priority, because it's not. Where it's a priority is and only is if you have like some sort of a lagging body part or a neurological connection that we're trying to isolate and work on. Otherwise, the compound movements are always going to be superior.
Right.
To that. You know, another good one, because we kind of went with the girls with the butt thing, is how often do you see this with guys? Like, I see this a lot with guys that have overdeveloped anterior deltoids, like these big triceps and then no chest. And so right away, I know that they have this poor connection to their chest because they can't get themselves in a retracted position in chest press, and they're pressing up with their arms and their shoulders.
They can't even stretch back enough to open their chest up.
And you see this with boxers and fighters, guys that fight a lot because they have.
Well, it's advantageous for that, you know, those types of sporting events.
Right.
So, yeah, you want to be in a protracted. So, yeah, to break through that. And here's where a lot of these bad patterns and issues, you know, come from. It's from, you know, growing up and going through either sporting events or just, everyday activities that you've constantly done like over and over and over and over again. And it's created this natural recruitment process. So like to break that, it's tough a lot of times. You really have to pay a lot of attention to it and make it a focal point.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So get those connections, make sure you can feel the muscle, prioritize it. And then here's the kicker right here. Here's the key: frequency.
Right.
Frequency, frequency, frequency. You will rarely find anybody that does a repetitive motion over and over again with a particular muscle group that over the years doesn't have it pretty well developed. It's a fact. You look at like, again, runners who run all the time, they tend to have some nice developed calves. You look at people who, you know, use their hands all the time, like a plumber or a mechanic, they tend to have pretty muscular forearms. Rock climbers tend to have muscular forearms. Frequency, frequency, frequency. If you have that weak
Video
body
game
part,
players, you know, jerking off.
Yeah, good thumbs.
Yeah.
If you have a weak body part, it is to your advantage to train that body part more often than the other body parts. Now, when you do this, you have to be judicious. You have to be careful
of your intensity.
Exactly how you do it. It's not all about intensity. You definitely want to train intensely, you know, a few days a week or a couple days a week. But that doesn't mean you can't look. If I have weak body parts, biceps, I should say, I can train my biceps every single day to bring them up.
Mm-hmm.
Two of those days or three of those days will be relatively hard. The rest of them will be easy, but I'm still training them. I'm still going through full range of motion. I'm still squeezing them. I'm still getting a pump. And when you do that, when you start to apply frequency after you've gotten the connection, after you've understood prioritizing, watch what happens. Every single time you'll see those body parts start to come up. And I think it's important to say, too, that, you know, doing these things properly doesn't guarantee that you're going to develop that body part into a strength, but you're definitely going to bring it up, you know, quite a bit.
It takes time. It takes time. I mean, any of the lagging body parts that, I mean, I remember, you know, it's crazy. Like when you recently just complimented me on our YouTube video about my shoulders and being known for having good shoulders. It's like, that was actually, I was known for that being a weak point. So it was the first one that someone ever pointed out. I think I told the story on here one time before where I think it was like 23 or so, something like that. And it was a trainer and I had a female bodybuilder. I was the fitness manager at the time. And one of the girls that worked for me, she was a competitor. And I asked her to assess my physique. Well, what do you think I need to work on? And like right away, she said, like with no hesitation, like your shoulders. And she said it so fast. I was like, and to me back then, which is funny, is I considered my arms as a strength, and they were. My buys and tries really were, but I kind of incorporated my arms as my shoulders. That's how I would look at it. Like, oh, all of my arms
are all connected.
Yeah, it's all connected, right? They all look good. It's like, no, like you need to work on your shoulders and especially your rear delts. And it was at that moment that I really like go after that. And it's taken me years to really develop it to be a strength. It came up.
It took a lot of work and a lot of frequency.
Yeah, absolutely. So,
I mean, how often were you training your shoulders versus other body parts?
Well, yeah, I was training them 2 to 3 times more in the week than I would anything else. So.
You know, it's funny. I have a story about that. When I was, in terms of frequency, when I was a kid, I believe it was the summer after eighth grade, I was playing volleyball, dislocated my kneecap. And so I had to wear a leg brace.
You were a volleyball guy?
No, I wasn't a sport. Whoa. Like I wasn't like I'm playing on a team. It was like playing volleyball at the park.
Between cheerleading practices?
Yeah. When I wasn't in my jazz club. Damn it. Jazz dancing.
Color guard.
So when I dislocated my kneecap and it stayed out for a while. They brought me to the hospital. It was this big old deal. My knee was fucked up. I had to wear this leg brace, which it was kind of like a cast, but I could take it on and off, right? And when the knee got a little bit better, I could walk with this knee brace on. And so what that meant was my left leg would stay straight and I could only bend my right leg. So I'd walk with this kind of funny walk because my left leg had to stay straight.
McGee.
Yeah. But what I would do
is
I'd have to push off hard on my left calf because of that position. Till this day, my left calf is a little bit bigger than my right. And it's 100% because of that repetitive walk. I would walk to school like that. I'd walk home like that. I'd walk to my girlfriend's house. It was because it was constant, frequent stimulation on that muscle. Until this day, it still hasn't completely balanced out because of that frequency. And to match that frequency would require I'd have to walk like an idiot.
You say that, and I've got the same issue on my right side. Only mine is due to the poor neurological connection. So when Dr. Brink broke me down and we saw my right side, the way I just slightly inverted on my and pushed off with my toe. So I would create, I'm creating leverage on my right sides and I'm not using my muscles like I should. Like my calf muscles should be responsible and my quads and my glutes, all these muscles should be responsible for movements that I'm leveraging off my toe a little bit. And it created an imbalance with my calves, all my whole right side actually. So that, and I can see that big time.
Yeah, here's a freaking red flag right here. If you have a lagging body part that's on one side, so if you don't have what they call symmetry, right? Symmetry is basically your left and your right match,
which nobody does.
If you have a considerably smaller,
glaring, you can see it.
Yeah, like if my left bicep is a lot smaller than my right bicep, or my left quad is a lot smaller than my right quad, where I can flex in the mirror and really notice it. Neurological connection, 100% of the time. Because although you may have a lagging body part because you're not using them right, they should both be lagging or they should both look similar. If one side's lagging, you've got a neurological connection issue on that one side.
Yeah, somewhere
that you need to work on.
And it could be, and that's the, I mean, and here's the part that where we're trying to advance programming and help people is, we're trying to help teach people how to assess themselves.
Yeah. How do you identify that?
How do you identify? Because it's not as simple as, oh, I have weak calf on my right side, so it must be this. Because it could be, you got to work the whole chain, right? And it could be somewhere else. Like, for example, you said bicep, right? Great example. So your right bicep could be lagging, but that could have something to do with your back. And because when you do pull-ups and rows and all these other things, you've got an imbalance on one side of your back that's, you know, taking over, and the bicep is not activating and working the way it should, and that imbalance is causing the bicep. So it's not always the direct connection, which is also the huge problem that we have with physical therapy, I feel like. This is a huge problem in like what I see with PTs, that when they get an injury, somebody has a problem with their knee or whatever, their job is to get you back to moving and being able to move correctly. Now, that doesn't include like addressing the whole entire kinetic chain and what could be breaking down. And normally when people have some sort of a surgery or an injury, there is some sort of a breakdown. And if they don't address it and fix it, they have this recruitment pattern that is off, that they continue to do their daily habits, and they can just continue to cement that poor neurological connection, and that just ends up being this major imbalance, or ends up being this nagging pain that we get when we get into our 40s or 50s and 60s, that we just think it's because we're gotten older and, oh, I'm old now, so I feel this way. Like, no, you feel like this because when you were 25, you had knee surgery and you never fully you thought you fully recovered because you were back to playing sports and doing things, but you have now established a bad connection that you just continue to cement.
And some of the ways you could identify this is you could do unilateral exercises. Try one-legged movements, and then you'll see, holy shit, I'm so much better on one side versus the other. Or one arm presses or one arm rows, or when you do a pull up, have someone film you from the back and make sure both shoulders and shoulder blades look identical and that one's not higher than the other.
And this is also why it's such an important piece to consider that we put so much emphasis on total body movement. So on like compound lifts and, these types of exercises that use your whole kinetic chain to work together. Otherwise, if Maps Black, all it was trying to isolate muscles and bring one lagging body part up by itself and just making a whole program around that, we're going to create a serious imbalance and we're going to create, bad recruitment patterns that don't, They don't work with your entire kinetic chain as a whole in the communication process.
That's why when we first started talking about this topic, I wanted to bring up the lagging body parts from a functional standpoint, because you can have very well-developed body where all the muscles look symmetrical, but all you ever do are isolation, pumping, type movements, and maybe you're on steroids so the muscles develop regardless.
But then the body's not speaking to each other.
They just don't work well. Yeah. Here you are, this muscular guy or girl, and you go, lift the couch because you got to go. You're moving, or you're going to throw a frisbee.
Tear something.
And you just can't. Like, shit doesn't work right. It's not talking to each other.
Yeah.
That's not good either. There's the, like I said, the aesthetic and the functional component.
They're together.
But we've referenced MAPS aesthetic quite a bit in this episode, because that particular program really has a component in there that addresses lagging body parts, and I want to talk about that for a second. I want to talk about and give people kind of a rundown what a focus session is. A focus session is something very unique to MAPS aesthetic, and it's specifically designed to bring up lagging body parts. And in a nutshell, and I'm not going to be able to do it justice, talking on the podcast, it's a little more complex than this, but in a nutshell, a focus session is adding extra workouts for a particular lagging body part, but doing so in a way that doesn't create too much more damage or compromise your body's recovery ability, because you're still doing on those main days your heavy and hard workout. So if your lagging body part is chest and today's my main workout and I'm doing my bench press, my incline press, I'm doing my, all the main exercises for chest, tomorrow is my off day, but I still want to bring up my chest, that's a focus session. And now what do I do on that day? Cable crossovers, pec deck, I focus on going light and stretching the chest and really squeezing and holding the squeeze, and I use all these little techniques to bring it up. And that's what a focus session is. It's designed to increase the volume and frequency that you can apply towards particular muscle groups to bring them up. Can you do this on all your body parts? No. It's just too much for the entire body to handle. When you want to bring up a lagging body part, you need to come up with one or two of them and focus on them one at a time. This was Adam's contribution because this is how he trained for his competitions.
Well, it's really how I kind of modified the original MAPS Red. It was like, for me, I agree that MAPS Red is always and will always be our foundation for any and everybody. Like, I still recommend it for bodybuilders. Like, start with MAPS Red. It is the foundation. And then let us show you how you progressively overload muscles to develop ones that are lagging. And that's the real beauty, the real science in the way that's designed. And when you talk about focus sessions, the piece that is incorporated in there is to how to progressively overload and the importance of that. Like, what I saw a lot of, and the mistake I saw a lot of other my competitors doing, is just, like I said, they get told they have a lagging shoulder, so they just do shoulders as much as they can or just keep adding them. It's like, there still is science behind how you do that.
I know so many people that just went and attacked a body part and it got smaller.
Yeah.
Because all they did was just beat overloaded it up so much.
Fry their body.
Yeah, fry the muscle, tell the body that it's in its best interest to make this muscle smaller so it has more endurance. And they actually go backwards. I've seen that so many times.
This is very common with the girls and all their little fucking million glute kick, rubber band exercise.
Thank you for bringing that up. Jump box. I just saw that in the gym, like,
like yesterday.
It's like it blows my mind. I'll see a girl do this, and she glutes are her thing she wants to work on, and I'll watch her. Like it'll be one of the days when I'm walking on the treadmill. I'll see her like she goes and she does like I'll count. Well, there's another one. There's 2, 3, 4, 5, 7. Damn, 7 exercises already. Yeah. All on the and they're exercises like
all
this.
Glutes.
Yeah, jump boxes, supersetted to side lunges to
walking with a band between their legs and like doing like lateral tube walking like into every exercise, doing like leg presses with the lateral tube band.
No, and these are
on. It's like, calm down.
And these are people with poor recruitment patterns. And right. I'm glad you said that, because if you have a poor recruitment pattern for a particular muscle and you're constantly training it to fatigue, your body will revert to its default recruitment pattern,
which is the bad one. And it's the one it wants to go to.
That's what I mean.
It already wants to go there. So it doesn't even take you going to fatigue to already have a challenging to somebody who has a poor recruitment problem with they're getting to their glutes, right? Firing their glutes and they're doing all those exercises. You are only making it more challenging for yourself by doing it, because it's hard enough for you.
Right.
Now you're doing a ton of stuff to fatigue. Like before you even get to fatigue, you're probably already starting to use all these other muscles. And you better guarantee that once you go to fatigue, for sure all the other
ones are counterproductive,
what you're trying to do.
If I took someone who all they ever did when they typed on the computer was use two fingers, and they can go relatively fast doing that. I teach them how to use a keyboard properly, I can't tell them right away, go as fast as you can, because they're not going to be as fast as they were when they used two fingers. Mm. That's their default pattern. That's how they've learned how to go that fast with two fingers. Over time, using a keyboard properly is going to have them type much faster, but they have to go slow at first.
Right.
And so that's the equivalent of what some of these people are doing. If they have a poor recruitment pattern.
It's a very good analogy.
It is. Well, if people have a poor recruitment pattern for their glutes, then going to fatigue or to failure on squats isn't going to hit their glutes more. It's going to automatically kick them to their default, because their body's just trying to get through the exercise, mm-hmm. and they're going to hit their quads more, like they've been doing. So initially, it's slow and controlled and feeling what's going on and isolating.
What do you call that when you finger? What is that called?
Hunting and pecking.
Yeah, what is that called when you finger type like that? Is there a name for that?
I think that's it. Hunt and peck. Yeah.
I'm going to start hashtagging all the girls that I see. Yeah. All the girl videos that I see that post all their banners. I'm like, hashtag finger typing.
Finger type.
Here's a little trick. This is kind of a trick, because it's not the be all end all, but it's a nice little trick. If you have a lagging body part, you can do a superset. However, it is not your typical go to fatigue superset. What you do is you do the isolation movement first. Get that connection. Feel that muscle work. Immediately go to the compound movement with light weight, go very, very slow and continue to try to feel that muscle activating while doing that movement. Example, we're talking about the glutes, so we'll stick to the glutes. I would have someone do a very slow and controlled and light hip bridges off the floor, squeezing the glutes, holding them at the top, going down real slow, coming up, squeezing the glutes so you could really feel them. Immediately go to a barbell squat with very light weight, and the entire time I'm doing the barbell squat, I'm going slow and trying to get to feel my glutes. That would be a good superset in how to use the compound movement, right?
Yeah.
I have a personal experience with this. You know, for the longest time when I was a kid working out, I was strong as shit on back exercise. I can pull a lot of weight. I've always been able to. But I never felt my lats. Like, people would be like, oh, my lats get sore. And I'm like, I've never felt my lats get a pump. Mm-hmm. I've never felt them get sore. And I use this technique. And I came up with myself. I did a superset for my lats, and I did a straight arm pull down, which isolates the lats, and I'm real slow, real controlled. I understood the function of the lats, so I imagined what my lats were doing, squeezed them, came up real slow, did it again. Then I went right to a lat pull down with a supinated grip. I went real light, and again, I pulled and went real slow and tried to feel the lats working. And for the first time in my life, I had a lat pump. I did this for a number of months. And now, when I do rowing movements or pulling movements, I get a pump in my lats. Had I never done that, I probably still would be just rowing a shit ton of weight.
You never taught yourself to do that.
And not feeling those lats, you know, really working. So that's an easy, simple trick you can do to really feel it. You know, chest, same thing. You could do a very slow, controlled cable squeezing movement where you're really feeling the chest activate and you're squeezing it. And then you go to your bench press and use half the weight you normally do. And go right and go real slow and imagine and understand the function of the pec in the bench press as you're moving it. You're not going to be nearly as strong. You're not going to go to fatigue again, because you're going to go to your default recruitment pattern. But you'll feel your chest really do a lot of the work. And this is true for any body part. that you're looking to work.
Well, and this is what a lot of the like bodybuilder guys talk about, the mind-muscle connection.
They're really good at this.
Yeah.
You got to give them credit for it.
Yeah. I guess they use that term, I don't think really understanding exactly what they're doing. But that's what we're trying to teach people, is to get that understanding of what does that mean and what are we trying to fix or work on. And, you know, that mind muscle connection is the irony is the most of the bodybuilders that are doing that, they don't need it as much as some of the people that are have all these, you know, these poor connections.
Yeah, I'd say the bodybuilders who have issues with lagging body parts many times. Well, although really isolating and squeezing a muscle group, a lot of them sometimes have issues too, but I would say more of it has to do with the programming and that they just hammer that muscle then.
Yeah.
They're not really using frequency and intensity inversely and applying it properly.
And that balance is important. I know we kind of grazed over that, but it isn't as – and I know we always like giving like the good free information on here, but there is a scientific approach on how you do that. It's not as simple as just do it more. You know, like, yes, frequency is king, 100%. If you do frequency, it is important to balance the intensity out, but it's also important to kind of know where your starting point is, like how much volume are you doing right now? And if you're doing X amount of volume right now, mm-hmm. and you add more frequency, you're naturally going to increase more volume. You don't want to be doing 50% more volume right away, because that's going to hammer and fry the shit out of that. You know, it's like there's no need to. You just want to do a little, just enough to elicit change.
I would say easy takeaway from this episode, take your lagging body part, train it pretty hard, 2 or 3 days a week with a normal amount of volume. Don't go nuts with it. And then at least another 2 or 3 days a week, go to the gym and do very light squeezing, pumping type movements, isolation based movements. And now that body part's getting lots of attention. And over time, you'll start to see some pretty big improvements. I think for a lot of people who've never done that before, in a pretty short period of time, you'll start to see those changes. Yep. So if you like Mind Pump, leave us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes. If we like your review and we pick it, you will win a free Mind Pump t-shirt. Also, find us on Instagram at Mind Pump Radio. You can find me at Mind Pump Sal, Justin's at Mind Pump Justin, and Adam is at Mind Pump Adam. And don't forget to check out our programs at mindpumpmedia.com.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. If your goal is to build and shape your body, dramatically improve your health and energy, and maximize your overall performance, check out our discounted RGB Super Bundle at mindpumpmedia.com. The RGB Super Bundle includes MAPS Anabolic, MAPS Performance, and MAPS Aesthetic. 9 months of phased expert exercise programming designed by Sal, Adam, and Justin to systematically transform the way your body looks, feels, and performs. With detailed workout blueprints and over 200 videos, the RGB Super Bundle is like having Sal, Adam, and Justin as your own personal trainers, but at a fraction of the price. The RGB Super Bundle has a full 30-day money-back guarantee, and you can get it now plus other valuable free resources at mindpumpmedia.com. If you enjoy this show, please share the love by leaving us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes and by introducing Mind Pump to your friends and family. We thank you for your support, and until next time, this is Mind Pump.